This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First, want to kind of do a deep dive into what is going on with the Cowboys in the red zone. The Cowboys are 30th in the league at touchdown conversions once they reach the red zone. They've been struggling mightily, and they've even struggled significantly once it's goal-to-go situations. Really, really struggling, and it's truly bizarre. And so I've been trying to do some digging around and try to figure out what it could possibly be. And so I want to kind of break down just the red zone approach that teams take in general.
Okay. Right?
I think it comes down to philosophy and then execution. So what is your philosophy? Your run-pass ratio by down. You know, and I think that's what it comes down to. What is the Cowboys' plan? And I think the reason that matters so much is you get into the whole thing of predictability.
Right.
Are people able to get an idea of what you're trying to accomplish? And if they are, do you care? Because, like, if you're so good anyways that you just don't care and you're just going to power roll through it, that's one thing. And so that's a factor I want to consider. I think each team has a red zone recipe, and these are the ingredients, and it just depends on what you have. Players, game plan, the execution of that plan, and then the predictability of that plan. And so here are the options when it comes down to what your red zone approach is going to be. Number one, you have a plan, an identity, and you stick to it, right?
Right.
And because you have a plan that is repeatable and you do it all the time, then you get a ton of reps practicing it, so your execution of that is probably going to be better.
And you would think their plan is run it.
I would think so, but let's go through these and then let's try to figure out what their plan is. But that's the first thought. There's four of these options. You have an identity and you do it.
Okay.
Maybe you have a super tall receiver and you throw him fades most of the time. Or maybe you just have a running attack and you do that most of the time. Whatever it is, the first option is you have a plan and an identity and you just go do that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Second is you create a new plan every single week. You create a new plan for each opponent. Right? And the problem with that is you're not going to get a lot of reps in. So in terms of trying to execute that, your execution might suffer because you're changing it so frequently.
But
you're saying, hey, we're going to outsmart you. We're going to pick a scheme. We're going to pick a plan down in the red zone, and we're going to outperform you because we've figured out some nuance here, and we think we can expose you.
That's the New England way.
Okay. Third one, you base your plan based specifically on players that you have. You have players that can win in the red zone. Some players who have unique red zone options, and then you counter off of those things. And so Zeke would be one of those things, right? Dez in his prime.
Yeah.
Throwing fades to Dez or Megatron or, you know, maybe Gronk or
Rico.
Yeah. You have some players that just win in the red zone, and so you base your red zone philosophy on starting to let those players go in their matchups. And then the fourth would be you just – try to play tendency chess. And that is where you're going to change your strategies. You're going to look at yourself, do a self-study, and you're going to be like, all right, you know, they're reading our strategies. Because of that, we're going to throw them this curveball. We know they're studying, you know, and you can get really caught up in the tendency stuff.
Right? You know, the thing I was thinking about, this kind of ties in back to the identity thing. Usually these teams that rock out with identities, they have success with their identity first. And then when teams start stopping it, then they can get teams to bite on that and they can do wrinkles. But the problem is that the Cowboys haven't really won with their identity in the red zone at all this year. Like, it's just been a mishmash, and it's just never quite thoroughly connected.
I think there's a lot of things there. I think play design needs to be welcomed into the conversation as well. I mean, that's got to be a part of it. I think there's a situation, too, where you do have to kind of look at – I'm thinking about specific examples this year where I've seen them run, like, the same thing where we're going to really focus on trying to get one guy open. So, like, we're going to run an out route here and a slant, but the tight end runs out. And I'm like, okay, well, now if one thing works, the other guy's short of the end zone there. So I think that's, like, that's kind of interesting. But I think personnel is a thing as well. We talked about this on the 4th-and-1 play. The reason I didn't like going for it on 4th-and-1 the other day is because I knew they were going to bring every tight end on the roster in the game, squeeze it down, and then run it. And in the red zone, when things get tight, you need to make the defense account for every wide receiver you have on the field.
Right.
And spread it out instead of jamming it all into one box, and it just makes it tougher to score.
And I wonder if that is the Cowboys saying, hey, we have a plan, we have an identity, it's to run the ball between, you know, bring out our extra tight ends, and we're just going to cram it down your throat. Is that what they're trying to do?
Well, it would.
It's
got to work, though.
Yeah, it's got to work. Yeah.
And it hasn't. You know,
it has not worked. And I think their identity during a game is to run Zeke and control the clock.
Mm-hmm.
When they get down in the red zone, it changes for some reason. They get inside the 20, 25-yard line, they start changing. They start overthinking themselves. And I think they're playing tendency chess, and they're like, okay, they know we're going to run, so we can't run. Or, you know, I don't know. They just change. And I do know this. When, you know, they don't have a back shoulder play fade situation. They just don't. It's just not. They don't have – whether it's – you know, I've heard Michael Gallup is really good at that. But it may not be a throw that Dak loves to make. And, it, you know, you cater your playbook around the plays that your players can execute.
So, remember the time they decided to just dust Rico off out of nowhere and run it?
That's what they were trying to do. They were like, okay, we have a player who we think can win in the red zone. And so we've got a different package for when we're super tight and Rico's going to be a part of that.
But he
didn't execute it the same. Like, I think he could do it in practice. But you get into the game, and he didn't have enough experience,
sure,
and he wasn't executing it the right way.
I just happened to be watching Hanson the night that they did that, and our old buddy Glenn Smith was like, I don't know what this is right here, but he's not even running a route.
Yeah.
And it was, like, pretty obvious. It's like,
yeah,
Rico freaked out when they put him in the game.
So what do you suppose? You can't hold a quarterback accountable for that. You got a guy running a route. He's not even running a route. He's just going to.
And it almost feels like, too, it's like, you know, we kind of goof around on the whole idea of meddling Jerry. And, you know, I'm making a joke, but that almost felt like Jerry going, it's time to get Rico out there and let's see a little something. Okay, Jerry wants to see Rico. Call up the Rico
play.
And that
was early in the season, and they've kind
they
of stopped
it.
Forcing
yes.
that. And Noah
yes.
Brown coming back has changed that a little bit as well.
Right.
But I personally, I've rarely seen a ton of crazy, like, motion and play action and things like that in the red zone. The time I saw it, they were down by 2 or 3 touchdowns, and it felt like it was a thing to show everyone, hey, look, I'm creative. I have this one, like, kind of crazy play. Too many times in those – and, look, red zone to me is also hard to talk about because it's a small sample size. So it's the type of thing where one good outing, you go 5 for 5 in the red zone, your percentage is going to shoot way up.
Right.
You know, and that could help you a lot. But you should be converting 50% of the time when you got the mm-hmm. weapons that they have at this point. I also think right now that what you're talking about with tendency chess, that comes into play. Now, don't you think teams know Dak can keep the ball? I mean, Dak scored a rushing touchdown in about 5 or 6 games already.
Mm-hmm.
I think teams now have seen that.
Yeah, they're ready for that in the red zone.
My specific example is the last play. They come out and they go 5 wide receivers. Well, the Cowboys never go 5 wide receivers, ever. They never go empty. Zeke goes out. And he's the slot wide receiver on the left, and then Dak motions him in, and it was set up. That was the play. Well, I wonder what they're going to do now. It's going to go to Zeke, or Dak's going to keep it. I know they're not going to throw it because they never come out in 5 wide receivers.
Do you feel like? And also, I want to say this. I think with the injuries along the offensive line, Travis Frederick being the main one, but then Tyron and Zach being banged up. Do you feel like with the offensive line being hurt, that maybe they don't have the same confidence they've had in the past to say, this is our identity, run, run, run. Let's just cram it down their throats and see what happens.
I absolutely do.
You do? Because my first thought has been saying that is they went for it on 4th-and-1 in overtime when they could have kicked a field goal. So it's like, it's hard for me to immediately go, yeah, they're scared when they like, that was ballsy plays you could call
true.
That.
4th-and-1's different, though, than 3rd-and-goal at the 5 or whatever.
Man, that was the game, KT.
No, I know.
That's about as ballsy as it gets.
No,
that
I
was
know.
Ballsy for 1 yard, but that was dude. That was the most ballsy moment of the season, no
I
question.
It was a bad decision.
But like,
I did too.
But like, 1st-and-goal from the 7, you know, 2nd-and-4, from the 4, or 2nd-and-goal from the 4, or the 3, and it's like, what are you running in those situations? And is it possible that the Cowboys are saying, we're going to let the defense dictate what we do as opposed to, say, let us dictate what the defense does?
I guess it's possible. I think about matchups I think a team can win. And, like, a couple things stick out. One is when you go bunch on one side and then you get the line blocking that way, and then I think about that little option play Dak and Zeke ran. If I can get Zach going the opposite side of where the bunch is and get him out in the flat, I feel like he's going to win that battle every time.
Zeke.
So if I get the bunch on one side and they're blocking that direction and Zeke's going out there, I think he's going to beat the linebacker, the safety, whoever's running out there to get him. I think he's going to beat him every time.
You're reducing the number of blockers in the middle of the field when you do that as well. There's a big play. It was third and eight, I believe, and it was Beasley, Cooper, and Gallup were in a bunch on the right, okay? And it was basically a pick play, and Beasley kind of fake ran a route. Cooper cut across the middle wide open, and I was like, they never do that. Mm-hmm. And if they do that in the red zone, it would work a little more. They don't do that. You never see them do a bunch inside the 10-yard line. You never see things like that. And we were talking about this earlier in the year. Dak's got to start throwing the ball. Think about the first month of the season. Dak's got to take a shot down the field. Otherwise, this defense is coming in and closing it. Well, basically, it's the same idea here. With the Cowboys bringing in tight ends all the time, okay, and really tightening things up, it's just telling a defense, well, here's less area you have to cover. The best red zone teams, the Steelers, the Patriots are bad in the red zone this year, but the Saints, the Chiefs, some of those good red zone teams, they spread out the entire field and make you account for a bunch of different people. Now, with bringing in tight ends, I don't have to account for Schultz and Jarwin. No offense, guys. I have to account for Dak and Zeke, and that's it.
Okay, so let me throw this out to you guys. I think if the Cowboys are being honest about their red zone struggles, if they're at the point where they're like, man, we just haven't been able to crack this code, we haven't figured it out, what you might see them doing is start being more aggressive, taking shots downfield once they get inside like the 40. They're 30, 35, 25. You know, you might see them say, listen, we're going to need to take some shots a little bit further down the field because we don't want to get bogged down in the red zone. And maybe you start seeing them be a little bit more aggressive in those situations, being honest with themselves that, hey, we're one of the worst teams in the league in the red zone.
Strike before your field shrinks.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes a heck of a lot of sense. I think, you know, and we've talked about this. I mean, quite frankly, the turnovers were an issue, all right? But Dak had gone 160-something attempts without a turnover. I mean, that thing got magnified in the last game. So outside of the fumbles, he hadn't been turning the ball over a lot.
True.
I think if you come away with, like, one turnover a game, you're going to win most of those turnover battles. However, that was a big problem. Quite frankly, the really only big the Cowboys have right now is they're getting threes instead of sixes.
Yep,
that's it. They're far and away their biggest issue, and it's not even close.
That's exactly
Since they got Amari Cooper and since they made the change with the offensive line coach.
And that's why I wanted to focus on this because I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want this to seem like this is a negative. They're on a five-game win streak. You know, it's not focus on something that's negative.
Sure.
The reason I want to talk about it is because I feel like if they can fix their red zone issues – then they're legitimately Super Bowl candidates. Like they have a chance to make a real run.
I agree.
I think at that point.
I agree. I think you know what we played it earlier. I know we got a boogie. That's exactly what Parcells was saying.
They were a top five team in 2016. They were a top 10 team in 2017 inside the red zone. There's no reason they shouldn't be now.
So could it just be? I mean, could it be Travis? Is Travis gone that big?
Be.
I mean, no.
Is that?
I think one thing I think is that when we asked Broadus about this, I think he gave us 10 different reasons. And when you got 10 different reasons, if we're going to, you know, squeeze it down into one of your four categories, they haven't figured out what they want to do consistently down there with this incarnation of the team.
Exactly right. And I think as Broadus brought up, there's been a couple execution issues too. Yeah, the one dropped by Cole. And, you know, it's a myriad of things. And to your point too, KT, it's not a huge sample size. There's no reason to believe they can't fix this down the stretch and into the playoffs. There's no reason to believe they can't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.